when they shake them body line. You now want left them behind. Put the quarty in me hand. Me go make you feel like man. If you want some belly lick, make your mind and give me quick.
To SER's Arts and Culture Show.
Don't make me say it's so hot right now.
Tan caliente ahora!
Your weekly dose of arts and culture.
And all of that sort of stuff. It's that weird thing that they're classics because they're classics because they're classics, and then they become the classics and everyone wants to do the classics because they're classics.
He's amazing.
Well, you need a lot of room for all that blood.
And he's hot as a firecracker.
You're listening to So Hot right now. You better not use me saying that.
Amazing babes.
On 2SER 107.3.
Hello, hello. You're listening to So Hot right now, your weekly dose of arts and culture. My name is Sophie Lai. I had a bit of a break the past 2 weeks, but a big thanks to Eleanor for taking you through those past 2 weeks for Supporter Drive. And I just also want to say a big thank you to you for supporting us this year. Supporter Drive is over now, but if you do still want to give a tax-deductible donation, just head along to 2SER.com/donate and you can keep this wonderful community station running, because it is volunteer run, so we do need a little bit of help from you guys to keep it running, and we do appreciate everything you've given so far. But oh my gosh, we have a jam-packed show for you today. To kick things off, we're going to be talking with the executive producer of the National Theatre of Parramatta, because their 2018 season is out and it is looking pretty interesting. So we're going to be talking to Joanne Key all about that. As always, wonderful Blake Howard from Graffiti with Punctuation will be dialing in for a gaggle of geeks, and there was a lot that happened these past couple of weeks that we need to catch up on. So Blake will be dialing in as well. Liveworks is currently on right now. It's a performance art festival that's happening at Carriage Works in Everleigh. But we're going to be talking with one of the performers at the Day for Night party that's happening in next week. Also, there's a new play out called Give Me Your Love. Also, it's part of the Big Anxiety Festival, and it incorporates an interesting aspect of a certain drug and mental health. So we're going to be talking to the director all about that. But here at 2SER, we're all about stories, ideas, and music. And to kick things off, it's Jeffrey O'Connor with Please. You're in 2SER.
Sweet 34, with the click of your heels that led me to your door. Let your head down loose the ring, have your little piece of everything. Same clumsy fuck cooled you down, but it kept you young. Your long, impossible lens, your heavy hand, your playing dead.
There's never a dull moment in American politics.
You know that. I know that. Everybody knows that.
Join Professor Ed Blakely and myself, Sean Britton, as we dissect all the goings-on in Washington and from sea to shining sea in US of Ed.
So here's a man in critical crisis. This is a guy who wears the title president, but is not a president.
US of Ed is proudly made in the studios of 2SER. Subscribe on iTunes, Wooshka, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are fake news.
You're listening to So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of art and culture here on 2SER. 2018 will not only be a new year, but another season filled with laughter and heart-wrenching tears at the National Theatre of Parramatta's latest season. They just recently released their program, and Riverside are presenting four world premieres with six Australian plays. And joining you on the line now is executive producer Joanna Key to tell you more. Good morning, Joanne.
Hi, thanks so much for having me on the show.
Not a problem. Now, it's a pretty big program. Can you tell us, walk us through some of the plays that are going to be there for 2018?
Yes. Yeah, the program did grow a little bit. And first off, we're looking at a sense of a place, belonging and family. So it kind of grew out of that. And, you know, there are really beautiful themes that run within it because we've got Stolen, which is an Australian classic by Jane Harrison about the Stolen Generations. But as a contrast to that, we've actually got a story about Karen Therese, who's Hungarian descent, but actually her family had a stolen situation happen with them as well, with her grandmother and mother. And then she looks at how that has affected the lives of the women in her family. And Kaz, many of you will know, she's actually also the artistic director of PYT out in Fairfield. So, you know, that's really wonderful that we're bringing a very local story as well to contrast.
Yeah. And how did you come up with the kind of the theme, identity, belonging and place?
I think there's always things sort of bubbling away in the ether. So you get times where, I think they even say that when people are submitting plays or there's playwriting competitions or various things, there's just things that seem to be zeitgeist that are around. And it just became apparent to me that this was, you know, one of those times, that this was a year when there was a lot of, you know, there's a really a sense of family and how you fit within that. And certainly Jesus Wants Me for a Sunbeam, which is going to be directed by Darren Yap, is about relationships, like a really tight-knit relationships of families. And Flight Paths, which we're opening with Julian Larnach's play, and he's just had a great play, Real Life, on at Darlington Theatre. That one as well, but that's about families, but that's actually about families that are fractured and in different places. And that's interesting because it has a global, international perspective, but it's also very much grounded in it being a story from an Australian playwright.
Now, speaking of Australian plays, you have six Australian plays in this year's program. Can you talk us through about them as well?
Yes. At the National Theatre of Parramatta, we are happy to produce works from anywhere, really. But it just so happened that we had six really strong works, and they're from Australian playwrights and theatre makers. And of those and the premieres that we have in them, we also have A Double Bill with the Girl and the Woman, which is by Anissa Vallette. And she, again, is a local person, and that, you know, that's her very personal story about her relationship with her family and her faith and her upbringing. We usually have Australian works, like there is a very strong theme because we're actually creating, commissioning and producing in Western Sydney. And in fact, I'm actually pretty excited because tonight we're talking about 2018, but tonight we're actually opening a premiere of what we created and commissioned, which is The Red Tree by Sean Tan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's wonderful that we have that capacity that we can, you know, think about commissioning and then we can create work with people.
Yeah, you mentioned, like, you know, as you know, being in Parramatta, you are in the heart of Western Sydney. Do you get many commissions coming through that are from that area and the kind of reflect that multicultural kind of pot that it is out there?
Yeah, well, we do feel as though we do very much take into account the place that we're in and the look. And in fact, a theme for our company is putting the nation on stage, because we actually want to reflect the diversity that you see in the streets. And certainly the two works that we've commissioned that have actually gone onto the main stage, The Incredible Here and Now, that was by Felicity Castagna, who's a local author and playwright. And that, you know, was reflective of the different types of people and cultures that you might find in the streets.
Yeah. Now, you also have four world premieres, very exciting brand new plays. Can you talk us through them?
Yeah. So of those, the first one is Julian's Flight Pass, and that one is a work that came to us, ATYP and Playwriting Australia. It was commissioned by them, and we have the wonderful Anthea Williams directing that one. And for the other plays, The Girl and the Woman, which I mentioned, is by Anissa Vallette. And the work that Kaz Therese is doing is also a new work, and that's the one about the generations of three generations of women from the stolen generations of a Hungarian background. And then the last play is a really interesting one. It's by Steve Rogers, and it won a prize about 4 years ago. There's this prize called the Lysicrates Prize, and Steve won that, but the play actually hasn't been produced. And Darren Yap has been wonderful about championing that play, because he believes so strongly in it as a work of drama, and we're really thrilled that we're going to be able to present that one.
How exciting. I mean, that was a while ago that he won that, though.
It was. I think it was nearly 4 years, something like nearly 4 years. So, you know, all power to Darren, who's just kept on going, I really believe in this play. And we're so happy that we're the ones who are going to present it for its premiere.
Fantastic. It does sound like an amazing program. Do you think a lot of the plays will have global resonance?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, the world, I mean, it's a big place, but it's also small, and people are people, and relationships that you have with families and, you know, issues about, you know, global issues. We've got a little bit about NGOs, and we've got a little bit about adoption, and it's all, and actually we've got one which is may well be even more topical at the time, because Jesus Wants Me for a Sunbeam is about assisted dying. So those are all pretty meaty topics that have resonance at all levels.
Fantastic. Well, Joanne, thank you so much for joining us here on 2SER. We can't wait to see how it all unfolds next year.
Yeah, I hope to see your listeners out at Riverside. Thank you so much.
Not a problem. That there was Joanne Key, the executive producer of the National Theatre of Parramatta, talking about their 2018 program at Riverside Theatres. The full program is up online. We'll put that up along with our podcast on 2ser.com/hot-right-now. You are listening to So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of arts and culture. And coming up, it'll be your weekly pop culture dose with Blake Howard. But to get you there, here's a tune now from the new Master Sounds. This one's called Slow Down, featuring Ryan Zwiedis.
This is a song about a brother I know. He had me walking out real slow.
SER presents the Peep Temple live at the Baldface Stag, Saturday, October 28th. Australia's powerhouse, the Peep Temple returned to Sydney to celebrate totality with Melbourne dirge rock lords, Bat Piss. The Peep Temple, live at the Baldface Stag, Saturday, October 28th, with special guests, Bat Piss. Tickets from wingsing.co. The Peep Temple, sponsors of 2SER.
You're on So Hot right now, your weekly dose of arts and culture. Just then you heard from the new Master Sounds, a bit of funk and soul for your morning from the British band. That one there was called Slow Down, featuring Ryan Zoidis. But now, it's 24.
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Holy smokes, Batman. It's Gaggle of Geeks with...
Blake Howard.
And Sophie Lai.
Good morning, Blake Howard. Oh, so excited to be back on Gaggle of Geeks.
Oh, good morning, Soph. Sorry for the hiatus, geeks who've been waiting eagerly to hear us geeking out together, but you had a well-deserved break traveling down at our lovely Tasmania.
Yes, the place that no one wants to talk about, but they really should because it's actually a gorgeous damn place.
Yeah, I love Tassie. Tassie's great.
Yeah. No, it was wonderful. But I hope everyone had a wonderful time listening to Supporter Drive and supporting this great station known as 2SER. We're still taking donations. If you want to donate, just go to 2SER.com/donate to give a tax-deductible donation. We do appreciate all the support that we can get here at the station.
We appreciate you. We appreciate you.
Blake, since we've been off air, there's been so much happening. It's just not funny.
We were planning to sort of do a bit of a recap, and we decided that you guys didn't need a five-hour show of all the things that potentially have happened in the geek world. We thought we'd try and keep it about 10 minutes, as usual. So, yeah, we've just really cherry-picked. Like, it's been an absolutely epic time for geekdom, and the big one for us that we actually stopped, we interrupted your holiday to message each other back and forth.
I know. I had no reception either because for some weird reason, only Telstra is the main carrier in Tasmania. And if you're on any other carrier, which is me, you just have no reception whatsoever.
Yeah, so I had the same experience in Tassie. Yeah, so I actually interrupted and it cut through. Somehow this was actually getting through to social reception was to freak out about Ryan Coogler's latest Black Panther trailer. So for folks who don't know, it's Ryan Coogler was the guy behind Creed and Fruitvale Station, and he's taking Chadwick Boseman's Black Panther, who was introduced to us in Marvel The Civil War. He's got his own movie coming out in February, so literally Marvel is now expanding the entire calendar for this thing, and the trailer looks bonkers. Like the teaser trailer looked amazing.
Mm-hmm.
This new trailer looks out of control. Like, absolutely vibrant, color, people of color being badass, men, women, just an absolutely incredible role. Incredible roles, incredible array of characters, incredible locations, an amazing, cavalcade of special effects.
Mm.
And I'm going to argue probably the best meme ever in the year, which is that someone commented that the Black Panther poster only has two white people on it.
Yes.
One of them is Frodo, one of them is Gollum, and they're just the Tolkien white guys. Ladies and gentlemen, drop the mic. It's over. The poster, the trailer... I can't wait for this movie.
Oh, I'm just yep. No one can outdo that pun for the rest of the year.
Nah, that's the greatest. This is one of the greatest of all time. I read it and I was like, no, I can't. I mean, why even Twitter anymore? I mean, this guy won. He won.
He totally did. It was a beautiful trailer. And the thing that kind of caught me was also people always have this perceived perception of what Africa should and look like.
Mm.
This just threw it all in the bin.
It's really great to see, African American and African influenced filmmakers being able to tell their own stories and have a vision of what things should look like. And I don't think we're being held back. It's not like a tokenistic kind of, you know, I think sometimes it's called, like, sorry to get a bit academic, but it's like that colonialist view, that orientalist view where you look at, like, you know, you look at sort of Africa and you're like, ooh, it's mystical, ooh, the tribes people. No, like, this is futuristic, this is badass, and just because it's set there doesn't mean it can't be as awesome and futuristic and cool and ahead of the times. And so, yeah, it looks amazing. It's such a unique bent and, you know, yet another person of color behind the lens with Marvel. And you know, we've talked about Taika till the cows come home, but you know, Ryan Coogler, you know, someone I'm super excited to see. You know, loved Creed to pieces, and I can't wait for Black Panther.
Yeah, and you know, he's also teaming back again with Michael B. Jordan, who we actually see more in this trailer.
Yes, who looks ripped. yeah, ladies. No, he's he looks awesome. Like, he looks fantastic, and he's playing the bad guy. Yeah, it looks pretty cool. I'm very excited for this one.
I'm just so annoyed that it's next year, the release.
It's February. Like, it's blockbuster season's just around the corner. It's like October. It's only a couple of months away. It's crazy. It's awesome.
I know, but February feels very far away now.
It's not going to, like, in 10 minutes, we're going to be like, oh my God, Black Panther's out next week. We're good. I'm just excited. I've got something to look forward to. It's a perfect Valentine's Day movie. There you go.
Just like Deadpool was.
For everyone to be emasculated by Chadwick Boseman and Michael B. Jordan with their partner. Fantastic.
Amazing. Now, the countdown to Star Wars is pretty much on because it's like, what, 2 months out now. So
yeah, 2 months.
Marketing.
You can buy tickets now, guys, pretty much internationally.
Yeah.
I hope you guys got a chance to see the latest trailer for Rian Johnson's The Last Jedi. And there were porgs, there were Wookiees, there were awesome tricks with the camera that made you feel like people were having conversations with people who weren't having conversations with people, and they've been dissected to within an inch of their life. But it was good trailer. It was great stuff. It was super exciting. You can buy tickets. I mean, just buy a ticket. Like, you already bought a ticket, really, in your mind, but now you can actually physically buy them. So do that and get there at midnight with everyone and have a blast. And you know, looking like Rian Johnson has absolutely knocked this out of the park. But not the only Star Wars movie.
No, they're just dropping things left, right, and center. So after they dropped that trailer this week, they were like, we finally have a name for the film formerly known as Red Cup, which has also been beleaguered with director problems.
Yeah, the film formerly known as Red Cup, which is the Han Solo Star Wars anthology story, has been called...
Solo. Just like the Han Solo movie is now known as Solo. Like, wow, someone was creative there.
Ooh,
I mean,
how many blue sky sessions went into that?
I mean, Disney's pulling it out. I mean, their new logo for movies anywhere?
they've gone with, you know, Solo. Low on Fizz, Slam It Down Fast for one of them, and then they've ripped off the ABC with Movies Anywhere. So, you know, they're just, you know, stealing from drink companies, stealing from other broadcasters internationally. Yeah, I mean, Solo. Yeah, okay. Fine. Like, that's my reaction to this. Fine.
Fine. Winning.
Who knows? Fine.
Yep.
Who knows? Solo is one of those movies that I think everyone was super excited about, and then now that it's a beleaguered production, is just sort of waiting back with better managed expectations, and I think that's good. I think we should be managing our expectations for these Star Wars anthology stories, because they've got a lot to live up to, you know. It must suck having to try and, you know, fit in and around or before the original trilogy, and then messing around with also the episode, the prequel trilogy timeline and stuff like that. I think there's a lot of pressure because they might want to go, oh yeah, of course we can make something better than the prequels, but you know, there's a lot of pressure, right? George Lucas messed up his own creation, but it was his own creation to mess up. So, you know, there's still quite a lot of pressure to set movies in that earlier timeline. And, you know, Rogue One was not without its own, you know, director issues, writing issues, recutting issues, reshooting issues, and that turned out okay. But, I don't know. I'm still super skeptical, and I think we should all be super skeptical on these ones and just, you know, go in with pretty managed expectations, and you probably come out of there pretty impressed.
Yeah, I mean, I'm leaving all my expectation for The Last Jedi, and I was so excited to see Carrie Fisher on the screen during that trailer. Yeah. I mean, she's so sorely missed. And then just with all the stories that are coming about out now about sexual assault, and one of her stories was that she sent a producer a little gift when she found out that he harassed one of her friends.
Yeah. Oh, she's the coolest person alive and dead that I think any of us could ever possibly have interacted with. Carrie Fisher decided she got a beautiful Tiffany box, which if you've ever lucky enough to see or see in a movie or be given a beautiful piece of Tiffany jewelry, they come in this lovely line, kind of, you know, sweet Tiffany green. I think it's actually called Tiffany green because it's a very specific green. And she sent it to this producer, and inside was a cow's tongue. And basically with a lovely note that said something to the effect of, if you ever do anything to one of my friends again or another woman, then I find out about it, I'm going to cut something of yours off and I'm going to put it in this box. So she's kicking ass and taking names, even with stories from beyond the grave.
Stories beyond...
I like Carrie Fisher. She's the best.
Right. And for everyone, it's like, don't be an asshole. / if you are getting harassed, be Carrie Fisher.
Yes, yes. If you're in a position of power and you know that a friend is getting harassed, don't stand back, be Carrie Fisher, and send them a threatening body part of an animal. And hopefully that animal was slaughtered ethically.
We're digging ourselves in a hole now.
Yeah, I'm going to move right out. Thor is coming out next week.
Oh my God, is it?
Yes. Look, I have to confess to our 2SER audience, our gaggle of geekers. Last week, I had premiere tickets to the Thor Ragnarok premiere with Chris Hemsworth, Taika Waititi, and Mark Ruffalo in attendance. And you may hear a little bit of nasaliness in my voice, but I was taken out by a virus that could only be described as probably more powerful than any of the Marvel villains we've seen on screen so far, sans Loki. And I was taken out and could not attend. So I have not seen Thor yet. I've had lots of friends that have seen it and said that it's amazing and lives up to all the hype. You're going to start seeing a ton of reviews dropping because the international embargo is basically down. But I know that limited media around the world have seen the film. But yeah, by all accounts, it sounds like so much fun. And we've been frothing for this movie. There's only way I want to describe it, frothing. And I just can't wait. You know, any new Taika Waititi movie, you're going to hear about it from Soph and I. And I'm so excited for this one, Soph, and it's only a week away.
I know. And longer runtime than we actually thought it was.
Yeah, there's like a couple of cool tidbits that have come out this week prior to the launch, right? Which is, number one, it's way longer than we thought. We thought it was going to be a 90-minute movie. It looks like it's a two-hour flick now, which is fantastic. Number two was that all the spaceships in Thor Ragnarok are named after classic Holdens. That's a little Taika Waititi sort of tidbit that he threw in there.
Just for kicks.
As an homage to the country where he was shooting it. And another great one, which was on telly in an interview with Taika, that previous note was from an interview that he did with Triple J. But on the project, Taika revealed that he's voicing a rock character called Korg, and he based him off a Maori bouncer at an Auckland nightclub. So basically, if you see Korg in the film, and you're perhaps from New Zealand, you can verify whether he sounds like a bouncer from an Auckland nightclub, because that's exactly how he voiced the character. So, can't wait. I'm so excited.
It was like Beach Daz had come to the Thor universe.
Oh, love it.
I don't know how, and it sounds amazing. I'm just waiting for... I can't wait to see the film, because I was away during the premiere, and just hear the drop of a bad egg.
A bad egg. Everything's funny in a New Zealand accent. That is 100% verified. So we know that if Taika Waititi's doing a Korg voice, that's perfect.
Perfection. Oh, Blake, what a week. Well, a few weeks that we had to kind of get ourselves ready for. But so good to be back with you here on Gaggle of Geeks.
Good to be back with you, Soph. Thanks for having me, and have a great weekend, guys.
Blake Howard there from Graffiti with Punctuation. You can catch all his reviews on graffitiwithpunctuation.com. Follow him on Twitter at Blake is Batman, or us at 2SER. Join the geeky conversation there. We're always happy to chat. You're listening to So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of arts and culture. And coming up, we're going to be chatting about one of the shows that's happening for Liveworks, the Experimental Performance Art Festival at Carriage Works. But to get you there, here's a bit of LB with Mute Hatch. Sydney, that is producer LB with Mute Hatch. You're here on So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of arts and culture with me, Sophie. On now is Experimental Performance Art Festival Liveworks, a 10-day celebration of dynamic live art at Carriage Works. To wrap it all up next weekend is Day for Night, a 12-hour entertainment extravaganza celebrating queer performance and party culture, featuring the likes of Benji Ra, Nicole Barakat, Stereo Gamas, Brendan McLean and Marcus Whale. On hosting duties, though, is the fabulous and newly crowned Miss First Nations Ultimate Drag Queen, Josie Baker, and she joins you on the line now. Good morning, Josie.
Good morning.
How are you going?
I'm going great. How are you?
I'm great. First of all, I just want to start with congratulations with your recent win.
Thank you. Yes, it's a huge honour and a huge responsibility and, you know, a lot of glitz and glamour to come.
I mean, you know, it's probably starting off with this, I suppose.
Yes, this is my second talk on live air about the Crown and about what's to come next. So very privileged.
Now, you are hosting a day for night as part of LiveWorks. For the uninitiated, what is it?
It's just a huge festival of experimental art, live performance. So this is my first performance after being crowned as Miss First Nation. So it's just a huge collaborative of sexuality, race. We've got some land rights issues, performances of the queer community. So it's a lot of colour and a lot of excitement.
So is it really your first performance since being crowned?
Yeah, so I've had a bit of a break. So next week it's heels on, makeup on, and ready to go.
Amazing. Any hint of what you'll be actually performing, or is it all hush-hush?
It's all hush-hush, but definitely a bit of Aretha in there.
Nice. You can't go wrong with Aretha. You really can't go with Aretha.
Yeah.
Now, it is a stacked program because it's 12 hours long, this massive party. So what's going to go down?
Well, there's a whole heap of things. I mean, there's all artists from Asia Pacific, and there's me. So it's just a whole club of the queer community. Yeah, I can't give away too much, but everything's in the program.
Like, yeah, stacked program, 12 hours worth. I'm looking at a bit of it.
12 hours. I'm not working for 12 hours. I'm just on there for maybe half an hour. But
you're part of it. I mean, we've got Benji Ra. We've got Stereogamus DJing. Mark as well, debuting some new stuff with Athena Thebus. You've got Brendan McLean, Salote Tawale.
And Jameson, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. Is anyone...
Matt Randall.
Mm-hmm. So many things. Is there anybody in particular that you're looking forward to seeing there?
I'm looking forward to seeing everyone there, actually. This is my first time at the actual festival, so I'm pretty excited and anxious as well.
From the way you described Day for Night, it did sound like a bit of a protest party as well. What kind of elements can we expect of that?
So, like I said before, there's a lot of issues around sexuality and race and land rights from the Indigenous community. So, yeah, get ready to be stunned and wowed.
I mean, the queer culture and party scene, it was, you know, back in the 90s, it was quite in your face, but also very edgy and non-mainstream, but we're kind of seeing a lot more of it interacting with mainstream. Do you think people will still be shocked when they come to it?
I think they'll be shocked, I guess, because they'll be weighing up their interpretation of different things as well. And also, it's a bit of a learning curve as well, so... Mm. Which is good. We're always learning.
For sure. But it sounds like a fantastic event. Can't wait for it. And seeing you all glammed up.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it. My first performance, so come on down. I'm on around 6:30, so but the festival starts at 12 o'clock on that day. So it's a whole day of... On your feet, glitz, glamour, and cutting-edge works from all across Australia and Asia Pacific.
Fantastic. Oh, well, Josie, thank you so much for joining us here on 2SER this morning.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. that there was the first ever crowned Miss First Nations Ultimate Drag Queen, Josie Baker, talking about the Day for Night event at Liveworks. Liveworks is on now at Carriageworks. Do check out their program. Just head to the Performance Space website. But this is happening next weekend on Saturday from 12 p.m. 12-hour party, pretty much. Part performance, part dance party. Do bring some comfy shoes to dance in. We'll put all those details up on 2SER.com along with this podcast. We're going to actually play one of the performers there, Stereogamus. They are DJing throughout the night. Here's a tune from them. This one's called Face Love New.
I've been afraid, unsure of how to change, to make my old self new. But with you I'll make the journey. Come with me, please, come with me.
at the Bank Hotel in Newtown, Uncle Hops is celebrating Sydney Beer Week with a series of craft beer-focused events. You can meet the newest homebrew legend, vote for your favourite brewery in the State of Origin Beer Battle, or come along to the launch of Uncle Hops' very own beer. Sydney Beer Week is on now. Head to bankhotel.com.au for more info. The Bank Hotel Newtown, sponsors of 2SER 107.3.
By the week, boys, and I'm sure most of you can relate. On top of that, you heard from Stereo Ugamas with Face, Love and You. You are here on at 2SER 107.3 with me, Sophie. Theatre stars John Hayes and David Woods are returning to the Sydney stage with Give Me Your Love. It's the second installment of Ridiculousness' experiment to presenting mental health in new ways. And it is showing as part of the Big Anxiety Festival. And David Woods joins you on the line now. Good morning, David. How are you going?
Very good, thank you.
For those who haven't heard, what is Ridiculousness all about?
Ridiculousness, that's a theatre company. We've been making plays for 25 years, based in Battersea Arts Centre in London, and now kind of exploded to at a global level with me based here in Australia and John sort of between Bangkok and elsewhere and our publicist in Buenos Aires and all this kind of thing. But we tour small-scale plays, and of late they've been on relevant sort of themes of relevance to social justice. And there's a trilogy of works, which the piece that we're touring to Sydney next week, or not Monday, but a week Monday, has been all about innovative approaches to contemporary mental health problems. So we've looked at things like the open dialogue approach for working with psychoses, contemporary ways for working with complicated grief, and then also in the work that's coming to the Seymour Centre, post-traumatic stress disorder and MDMA-assisted therapy.
Now, Give Me Your Love, your latest play. This one is the latter, am I correct?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So what is it, how does it come into it, basically, and what's it really about, I should say?
Yeah, it's, you know that thing where you get a rash on your arm and you start looking on the internet for what it might be, and within about five clicks you're convinced that you're going to die?
Mm-hmm.
Well, imagine that you've got a sort of mental disorder like post-traumatic stress with a huge range of symptoms, including anxiety, insomnia, irritability, sort of maybe some substance abuse or self-medication of various sorts. And in amongst all that, you come across a not yet legal treatment, which uses what you think is the street drug ecstasy, or at least that's the way the media is portraying it.
Mm.
And, you know, you chat to your mate on the phone about it, and he says, oh, I can get you some ecstasy and we can do this, you know. And that's the show, basically. It's the worst kind of DIY stroke self-medication that you could imagine. with two characters who are experiencing post-traumatic stress. One of them claims to have cured himself through doing this self-medicated therapy, and he's trying to persuade his mate to do it as well. And so you discover my character hiding in a cardboard box in a sort of washed-out room where it looks like his family's upped and left him, and he's sort of taken refuge in a packing box. And his friend comes to the door, as he seems to do on a regular basis, and sort of talk him out of it, but he won't let him in. He'll just let him as far as the safety chain on the door. So the whole play is an exchange between one person who's hiding in a box and another one who's locked outside the door. And he succeeds in delivering him a tab of street-sourced ecstasy, which may or may not contain the MDMA that the therapy that they've heard about uses. And they attempt this psychotherapy of their own variety through that sort of threshold of the locked door and the cardboard box. So, in a way, I suppose it's a kind of a sort of fable saying, you know, if you're going to get into this stuff, kind of do it properly. But in the case of the MDMA, of course, it's not yet legal. No. So, you know, you can't do that. And people who are in desperate situations, as our characters are, or certainly my character is, you know, we'll try anything in order to free themselves of these sort of demons. Yeah. The trial's now, I mean, it's already at phase two stage in the US, so it's highly likely that within a handful of years it will become a prescription drug in the United States, but only when it's associated with this particular kind of therapy, which is administered by two therapists.
Yep.
Sitting either side of you on a sort of futon, very relaxed kind of futon couch with relaxing music and, you know, a sort of unlimited amount of time in order to achieve these this dialogue, which is really what it's all about, is achieving this sort of sweet spot where the therapeutic alliance is very strong and the patient feels comfortable about talking about their traumas, which are, you know, impossible to access for the people with PTSD. That's what you call treatment resistant or chronic treatment resistant post-traumatic stress. So, yeah, that's where it's up to in the world. The UK are also doing a trial with a